Welcome to the Full of Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:32, that is Pacific Summer Time, and today is October 11th. And a pretty soft day on risk assets in here today. The majority of indices in Europe and Wall Street, and indeed in the Western Hemisphere overall, were in negative territory. The S&P is closing down 1.25%, the Nasdaq down 1.5%. The FTSE, despite really abject weakness in the pound. The pound was down today at 2.25 cents. The FTSE was down about 1/3 of 1%, and one can only imagine that it would have been more than that had the decline on the pound been less than that. The euro was also a bit weaker, down 82 ticks in here today. It's down now to about 1.10 and a half. That's pretty much the middle of the range, if we consider that the range is about 1.05 to 1.15. But because we have a triangular pattern overall on the euro, I think it is very much worth watching this, because when we get the breakout, it is going to be emphatic. It is going to take the market by surprise. And against that background, then we did have, despite the fact that we've had a modest bounce over the last two sessions in precious metals, they were weaker in here today. Gold was down 6. Platinum moved to a new low. In fact, platinum hasn't bounced at all. It's back testing the $950 area. Silver was down 17, and palladium has now also unwound its overbought condition relative to the 200-day moving average, tracking around the $650 area. Despite the fact that we have short-term oversold conditions, clear upward dynamics are going to be required to check this decline. China opened up yesterday after a week-long holiday, and the market was in positive territory. However, Hong Kong, both the Hang Seng and the H-Share Index, were in negative territory, and it was an outside day for both. So not quite a downside key reversal, because they had not been at new highs, but certainly a an outside day, and a dynamic one at that, suggesting that we are going to have some additional consolidation in Hong Kong. The Australian market was pretty much unchanged, and I think there are a number of moving parts that we could probably link together here. Certainly, we're getting into the earnings season, and part of the reason that the market has been able to trade up over the last month has been because people were expecting that the earnings recession that and we are moving into, and it all depends on which report you read, but it is at least 4, if not 6, consecutive quarters of declining earnings. And then I think a lot of people will be looking at whether that is going to turn on this particular quarter, as we get the results of the third quarter, that is. The Indian market is also has had so far a pretty modest pullback, and it was down. It didn't close down on yesterday's close, but it did close below the open today. There's still a process of consolidation there. And I think that we can start, if we start threading things together and look at what it is that might be causing concern here. Certainly earnings is one factor, but we are approaching a rather large milestone in terms of money market funds. Money markets funds have been trading for a very long time. They represent a staple of the financial sector, and they're going to be changed perhaps forever on the 14th. And it really is a big deal, because what it has required is that people start to think about exactly what these money market funds hold. And if they hold any commercial paper at all, then they will no longer be able to guarantee that their NAV will stick at a dollar. And there are two reasons for this. One is the altruistic reason. It is that because investors are taking on risk, they should have to bear the risk if the value of the assets in the portfolio are going to break the buck. And that is one reason. The reason that they're going to be able to hold that NAV at a dollar is because they're only going to be allowed to hold government securities if they make that guarantee in future. The additional reason for making that particular reason or particular rule is that it creates a rather nice market for government paper. If you create a sharp divergence between what the rewards and security there are between commercial paper and government paper, then you're obviously creating a market for the more secure one of those, at least as the regulations define it. So we don't yet quite know how this is going to play out, but I guess an encouraging signal is that the TED spread has started to contract, that it had been pushing on for much of the last month. It is and it is now still at modest levels, but it is trading well above where it has traded for much of the last 5 or 6 years. So it really does need to continue to contract, and I've posted that chart in Comments of the Day today. If it can continue to contract, then this entire transition may pass off with relatively little volatility, and that could act as a transition phase from what has been an uptick in volatility overall, and it's not just on money markets or short-term interest rates, but it is on bond markets and in commodity markets and in stock markets. Then we might begin to see some easing of that. So I think that this will be a rather interesting week for a number of asset classes. Now, if we do see short-term yields beginning to push on again, then that would suggest that investors are beginning to conclude that there is an additional risk overall and that that would require an additional yield. That could potentially be beneficial for the banking sector because they haven't been making any money at all on money market funds. But overall, if we get higher interest rates, then that would act as an inhibiting factor to extending leverage overall. So I think there are two things that I think a lot of people will be looking at. It's going to be what happens with these money market funds and what happens in terms of earnings. And the disappointing earnings out of Illumina in here today, that represented just a massive downward dynamic. It is now back in an area of potential support, but and so there is the potential for a bounce, but it has a lot of work to do to rebuild confidence following such a large decline, and not least because this range overall is happening below a type 2 top. So, is this a first step below the top or a right-hand extension phase? That is a question that is going to remain, I think, in the background of anybody who is really thinking about buying it at these levels. And something that became very clear at this conference I was at over the last few days is that there are massive advances coming in genetic sequencing, and that Illumina, as the purveyor of legacy and cutting edge but legacy technologies, may be in the firing line for obsolescence. And that perhaps is one of the things that we are seeing in the decline of its stock price following its third quarter results in here today. When we look at the precious metals, they are very oversold, but they really do need some evidence that other people have come to the same conclusion. And it is rather the opposite in the oil market, where we've had a very impressive rally, and oil prices were moved to on to a new recovery high on Brent crude yesterday. But there is a short-term overbought condition, so there is then the potential that we get some, at least some consolidation in here. And really, what would perhaps be the most bullish outcome overall is that you get a tight consolidation before it pushes on to new high ground. And natural gas, which had been rallying and has pushed through the psychological $3 level on the back of Hurricane Matthew, has paused a little bit in here today, but certainly not in a dynamic fashion. And I think this is a more uncertain environment overall, and until we start to see consistent trends begin to reassert themselves on a number of these indices, then we're not going to be able to sound an all clear. Today's pullback on Wall Street is the biggest pullback that we've seen in at least a month. So there is the potential for a deeper pullback. pullback. We've been up one day, down the next, and if we start stringing more than one or two days together on the downside, then that is going to bring us back to test the region of the moving average and then and the upper side of the underlying range. So it really does need to, Wall Street, and most particularly the S&P, needs to find support in that area to, I think, allay the fears that we're going to be in a more volatile environment overall. And I think with that, I'm going to leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.